time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
In a world where some people get it right most of the time, and the rest get it right at least some of the time, you manage to get it right none of the time.
You're always wrong.
We love the way you cover your butt with generic forecasts like partly cloudy with periods of sun and a chance of showers.
It might rain or maybe not.
Wow. Thanks for the pinpoint accuracy, Mr. Local TV Weatherman. And by the way, the fact that it's 1 degree warmer three towns over has absolutely no bearing on my life whatsoever.
Nobody cares.
Thank you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman, for that fake smile, that fake hair, and that fake banter with the anchor person whose job you wish you had.
But you don't.
So open an unseasonably cool Bud Light and pour a partly sunny toast to Mr. Local TV Weatherman, a real American hero.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
Higher temperatures, St. Low Pressure Area, Missouri.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, July 20th. I'm tired and you're not.
Nope, I'm not tired. I am not tired, people. I can keep going and going.
Well, you're young.
How does it feel to be 50?
Young and energetic, aren't you?
But you look good for 50.
Huh?
You look really good.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
that.
You don't look very wrinkly at all. I mean, you've got a lot of color in your skin.
Yeah.
I mean, you're rocking
good jeans.
You're rocking gray hair, but I mean, you know, that's not bad.
No, it's not a bad thing. I've had gray hair since I was in my 20s.
You
know,
really?
It was never like this, but, you know, now it's almost white.
But I think I think men just aging works in their favor.
Yeah.
I mean, until they hit like 80, but they have a longer.
So I got plenty of time.
You got time. Like, okay. Men that age, they have it falls in line with masculinity. They become more distinguished.
Mm.
Where women start to age past a certain point, and it starts to just kind of not look feminine.
Yeah, they look wrinkly, and then they cut their hair short.
Oh, I'm not doing
like
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a getting old plan.
Yeah.
Cosmetic plan. I mean, I don't want to be one of these women that tries to look like she's 13 and she's like in her 50s. I think I think that ages women more because they're clearly not able to wear those clothes.
Right.
But I want to wear clothes that are still feminine, and I want to have a hairstyle that is flattering and still fun, but not necessarily, you know, an eighth grader.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got a plan.
I got a plan for that.
You got to have plans.
Yeah. I probably won't. I mean, here I am going off my list. I probably won't get any plastic surgery that I can think of, but I probably will if I can't afford it and it's, you know, fine. I'll probably do like a little bit of injectables and things like that.
What are you going to have injected exactly?
Well, we'll have to find out when I push 50 and see what needs to be lifted up. But you can get things puffed out, like little wrinkles. You can get Botox, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I might do some of those things.
Okay. Don't do the collagen for your lips, though. I mean, that makes you feel like...
No, I don't like that.
Been punched in the face, you know?
Yeah, what do you think of that look?
I don't like that look at all.
Isn't it not creative?
Not only is it not creative, it looks fake. It looks like someone hit you in the face, in the mouth. It really does, you know? And I've yet to see one that actually works.
I mean, the ones that you don't know they just look good and you don't know it's plastic surgery. That's the kind of surgeon you want their name.
Yeah.
You want a referral to that dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want. No, I don't like the fish look. It's the lips that...
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody wants to fill out their lips a little bit and it looks still natural within their natural lip, that's different. But they all end up getting the same look.
Right. Exactly. And plus, you know, women that have a pretty face, they don't need it, you know? And yet they go and they ruin their face, you know? The same with boobs, you know? I mean, they go and they have nice boobs. They go and they get them enlarged. And then it looks like crap, you know?
Yeah, I don't get the torpedo boobs where they're torpedo tits. Couldn't help with alliteration, sorry. But they look like they hurt.
Uh-huh.
They look like the skin is so stretched out.
Yeah.
And they looks like it looks like that doesn't look soft.
No, it looks like a ball, you know, and it doesn't look appealing. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you that many men that I know, like, they prefer natural.
Yeah, well, you also like a big ass bush, too, so.
Fuck you. I never said that. It's not
a
big bush.
I'm playing.
I just like it unshaved and trimmed.
Yeah. You like it just to be all natural, too. So that's a different generation.
Yeah,
no, I know. Some guys, it's preferential. But no, I think what happens is the deeper issue is a lot of women just, it's a constant need to compete. And you always want to look younger and hotter because they're not working on the insides. They're only working on the outsides. And the reality is that the guy, if you're with a guy that's based upon you being a trophy, well, he's gonna upgrade eventually.
Yeah.
You know?
Newer model, less mileage.
Exactly. I went out the other night to House of Blues, I told you. And I was at the end of the night, I was sitting outside, my feet hurt, because, I mean, I look drunk regardless if I drink or not, because when I hit around midnight and I've been on high heels, I start to wobble a bit.
Yeah.
And I start, hey, guys, and I'm already a little weird, so it wasn't a drunk thing, but I do have that look about me, you know, that kind of like, you know, hey guys, what's up? But it's just because my feet are killing me. So I went to go sit down outside, and there was this couple sitting across from me. I was talking to a bunch of people, just having a good time, and there's a couple sitting across the, you know, the other bench by me, and it was so interesting. I think people are so funny. Like, the dude, he appeared to be kind of gay to me, but he apparently wasn't because he's with a girl. I can't tell anymore because it's, you know, you can't tell some anyway. So he's with this girl, and I don't know how we got on the topic, but it's almost like, have you been around a couple that likes to flaunt that they're a couple? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they're like,
no, I'm not sure,
they're
kind of
like, well, we're blah, 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 and their hands are on each other, and they're like, yeah, honey, blah, 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 blah. They want you to affirm them as a couple.
You think that's why they do that?
Maybe they're just in love. Some of it is just authentic. With some couples, it's just they're being themselves. But sometimes there's that whole, hey, look at me, we're together, believe us. Like, they're trying to prove it.
Yeah.
It's like a piece, you know, maybe he's not really into, I don't, anyway. But in this conversation, I don't know what he, I mean, I was looking pretty fly, I'm not going to lie. I was looking really good that night. I had a great outfit on, great hair. I was looking hot to trot. I just came, and I think the fact that I'm just conversational or whatever, I'm just like, whatever, we're all people, let's chat. I think that that sometimes can take people aback, you know, and they're like, what does she want, or da-da-da, and then they have to relax and realize, oh, we're just having a conversation. Well, he started talking about how they are dating and how this girl's 21, and he's in his late 30s, okay? And he said that he's friends with her father, and her father introduced the two of them.
I see.
Okay, so I'm thinking it's a little weird and creepy, and that's my opinion, but whatever. Who knows? It could be legitimate. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it's a little weird. You know, the dad's like, hey, my daughter, you guys should, you know, this is like your golfing buddy, and you're going, hey,
people
let's go.
People do that, yeah.
It's not that weird. Anyway, well, she's 21, and he goes, yeah, she's 21. And I like girls in that age.
Yeah.
He goes, because they're ambitious, and they don't want to be tied down, and they're independent, and they're a lot more fun. He goes, girls that are like in their 30s and late 20s, it's like they want to be rescued. They just want to be rescued.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that's interesting. He's like, yeah, they're tired. They just want to be rescued. And I thought, well, and I said, well, you know, it's harder for women because there's a timeline put to them. Whereas men, there's not the time. They don't have that timeline pressure.
Right.
And I thought, I should have said this at the time, but I did say, well, I mean, no offense. And I said, I don't know you, but she's 21.
Yeah.
I said, of course she's excited about life and stuff. She's just starting out.
Right.
She doesn't know anything yet.
And how old was he, did you say?
I think he's like 38.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, that's a lucky guy, you see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have fun. But the reality is that, and I don't really want to be rescued. I mean, I'm 28. And that's not my mentality because I got a lot going on. But I think that what he means is, you know, women start to go, oh, I really want a family. And they start to look for that in a man. And so it's not as, hey, let's just go out and have shots. It's like, are you material that I could be with? So, But anyway, it was just really funny because I'm thinking, you know, she's in a stage right now. Mm-hmm. And you can't fall in love with a stage, because once she gets 28 or 27 or whatever that cutoff age, which is so old, quote unquote, she's not going to be in that stage anymore. What are you going to do with her? You know?
Well, but she's matured, you know. You might have more things to talk about.
No, but he's saying he doesn't like that age range of mm-hmm. late 20s to 30s because right. of the they want to get married.
Uh-huh. And okay, so he just wants to have fun. What the hell?
But he was saying it right in front of her, and she didn't even. Yeah. The light bulb did not go off on this girl.
Right.
She's like, yeah, it's Taiwan.
Well, maybe she's pretty ditzy. Who knows?
She looked like a smart girl. I don't know. Everybody. Anyway, very funny, and I just think that, yeah, I think aging works well for men, mm-hmm. and they don't have that whole timeline thing. And I think women, it's like, you know.
Good. So that should make me feel good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 50 is not that bad, I guess.
But I think, don't you think women that are pretty, too, when they get older? I mean, some women really age gracefully.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different kind of pretty. It's more, I don't know. It's just
it is.
Mature.
You know, I mean, you got to have natural beauty. If you're going to start covering yourself up with thick makeup
yeah.
just to look young or better, then mm-hmm. it doesn't look good. It looks
like Julianne Moore. She's gorgeous, and mm-hmm. she's in her 40s, I think. And then yeah. you have, like, you have Diane Lane. You have a lot of these older, I mean, you know, more mature women, and they look beautiful.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
very elegant. There's an elegance to them. Cate Blanchett, she's yeah. gorgeous. I met her in person.
Although I don't get Julianne Moore. I mean,
really?
I don't. Yeah. I think without makeup, she doesn't look that great.
Well, most women don't look that great without makeup.
No,
I mean,
that's not true. That's not true. Like, you take a Diane Lane, she looks hot without makeup, I think. She's got a very pretty face.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I think. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that she's really. Do you think Nicole Kidman's cute?
Nah. See, I don't know. No, she's the same type as Julianne Moore. I mean, like, very light skin and uh-huh. redhead and stuff. And, you know, and I mean, these can be very pretty, you know. It's just that these particular ones, I think, need makeup to look good, you know.
Yeah, but what if they always have makeup around you? Would it work out?
Well, if it does, it does, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm the same way, though. I need makeup. That's the reality. I mean, I look very young without makeup on, but I look featureless. I don't have, like, natural lashes or, you know. And that's just the package.
Is that what it is?
It is. Just deal with it. Like, you know.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm dealing with it this morning.
There you go. I have makeup on, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that look good? I'm in workout clothes. I'm in workout clothes, Sam. I'm going to go get a good hike in today.
Yeah.
I did one last night in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing. I'm like a little vampire.
Yeah.
I'm getting my workouts in the middle of the night when there's absolutely no sunshine and wolves around me, coyotes. Because it's freaking
like
hot.
Fun, yeah.
It's freaking hot.
But last night was actually chilly.
It felt good. I ran and I was sweating crazy, so it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I actually had to put something on when I was sitting outside, like around 9, 10 o'clock. It got really mm-hmm. chilly. So I think the weather is sort of like adjusting itself. And hopefully, you know, we're going to have a nice, pleasant summer. Yeah,
it's going to be cooler this week.
Not so hot like it was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So what do you think of Sander? He's pretty cool, huh?
Sander, the guest we had yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a hot dude, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he's handsome. I wouldn't say hot.
You wouldn't
say
hot?
No, because I'm not in that position to feel he's hot.
Mm.
But,
ladies and gentlemen, he's a good-looking dude.
At any rate, Lindsay Lohan is going to jail today. Did you know that?
I saw some of it on the news this morning, and I'm like, mm-hmm. We obviously talk about it, but I mean, news coverage where you've got like a stakeout, and they've like it's called Lindsay Watch.
Yeah, well, it is Lindsay, you know. Anyway, look, we have I think the guests calling in. They've been trying to call in 10 minutes ago, but.
Let them in.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Rhonda Cook.
Yes, Rhonda. Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I am calling because I was.
I know why you're calling. Are you on a speakerphone? Is it possible to pick up the phone so we can hear you better?
No, I'm not on a speakerphone. But hold on, let me change something here.
No problem.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, that's much better, Rhonda.
Okay. And all right, great.
That's cool. Where are you calling us from? What part of the country are you in?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I see. Okay, we're getting a lot of southerners lately.
I like the southerners.
Yeah. Is it hot and muggy there, like the rest of the
absolutely
south?
Hot here. It is very hot. I think it's hotter than normal. We've been hitting 90s and 102s. It's just extremely humid and hot. Some days it's pretty nice. It cools off, gets around 90, but it is hot.
Wow. Well, you know, you can always move to L.A., you know, there's always that option.
I'll think about it.
Yeah. So,
how's the weather in L.A. right now?
Yeah, I know. We're having a great weather here now.
Yeah, it's cooling down. It feels nice.
Yeah. So, Rhonda, you are a consultant, and you wrote a book, The Teaches Entrepreneurs How to Begin the Journey from the Cubicle to the Achievement of Entrepreneurial Express Success, I mean.
Yes.
And what is the title of your book?
It's called Transitioning from Corporate America to Entrepreneurship.
Okay. So explain to us a little bit about what is entrepreneurship, really? I mean, you know, people say I work for myself. Is that the same thing?
Or is unemployed? Well, it's a running joke out here when people say they're a consultant or they're, you know, it just means that they're looking for a job, basically.
You're unemployed.
Yeah.
I love it.
Use it, girl. Work it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there are, you know, it's a very tough market right now, but for me, fortunately, I have quite a bit of work in the pipeline right now, so for me, it's quite busy. But with respect to what entrepreneurship is, and it's self-employment, working for yourself, there's these two phrases that I hear very often from baby entrepreneurs. And a lot of times when people have been in the corporate world and they really kind of hate their jobs and they're just getting out, they go, I work for myself, and they're very proud of that. But one of the things I advocate is really rethinking how you speak to that self-employment piece, because it sort of gives a certain attitude. When you talk about working for yourself, it sort of sets a mindset that you are the most important thing in the business. I work for me. I get to work when I want to. I do exactly what I want to do. I open when I want to. And to me, that's not really a good business base. We generally go into business because we have a passion. That's the best reason to go into business, is there's a passion about something that you love to do. And when you say you're self-employed, it sort of has a different connotation, because it means that you're in the work process, but you're self-employed. So that means there's a company, there are rules, there are standards, and that customers matter.
Right.
But what I've seen from people who sort of have more of a little bit more of an arrogancy to say, I'm self-employed, they are the most important thing in the business. And that just doesn't translate well to serving customers or consumers. It just doesn't do well. So I like to tell my customers and my clients to really think about how they put themselves out there as entrepreneurs and really think about making the client their priority, because that is ultimately the profitability, is
right.
How
so
well you treat your customer.
If you're at a business mixer or whatever, or let's say you're just, you know, shooting the breeze at a convention or something, and somebody says, what do you do? Definitely don't say you're self-employed because you look like a jerk. Is that what we're saying?
Not a jerk, but self-involved, maybe.
You look like a narcissistic Los Angeles.
Well, people do say that. I wouldn't say if you're... That's a very good question, though. I really like the way you put it. I wouldn't say not to say that, but I would... I don't think I've ever said that at any networking meeting. I've
what
never
should you say?
Said that.
What should
I
you
always
say
what I do, simply because it's much better to tell people what you do, because they can relate to, I'm a consultant, I do strategy, I do planning, I sell birds, I sell flowers and hats. So to say I'm self-employed, nobody cares.
Yeah. You're right, really. You're right. It's kind of like, hey, look at me, I can take lunches for like 5 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's more, to me, from a networking standpoint, people are usually looking for connections and relationships. So saying self-employed, again, that's sort of a little bit flamboyant to me. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. And nobody cares that you're working for yourself. Nobody.
Right.
It only means something to the person himself who's saying that. It's more relevant when you say what it is you do. And again, back to sort of having that conversation with my clients, you got to think about your end user, your client, because what do they want? What
right.
is it that they want? Do they want to hear that? Not really, not generally. They want to hear what it is you can do for them.
Right, right.
So let me ask you, Rhonda, when somebody is, you went back to, people get self-employed or, you know, do whatever it is they do. employ themselves because of a passion. So when somebody's trying to sell you on, don't you just hate clocking in? Why don't you be your own boss? That's not necessarily a motive that's going to last or make you successful, right?
Right. You know, and here's a place right here where it gets a little sticky, because people really think that if you're employed, self-employed, you make so much more money. That the potential is always there. So people tend to sort of want to flock to the dream, to the leprechaun at the end of the rainbow looking for those dollars. But really where the money comes from is from the passion. I say in my book, Transitioning from Corporate America, that really looking for the money is not the right reason to start a business. It really is the passion, because passion gets you beyond all of the bad breaks, the bad decisions, the stupidity, the ignorance. It gets you past every obstacle, is that you believe in something.
Yeah.
And not just searching for money. Money has no, it doesn't really have any boundaries with respect to what it does. There's no friends, there's no rules. I mean, so money's not a really good reason. Passion is really the reason to go after something, because that's what's going to hold you in.
Right,
yeah.
And obviously money is not, chasing the money is not a strategic decision that you should make in a business, you know? I mean, obviously, it's sort of like it comes afterwards if you do have the passion, and I have to agree with that. Now, So you're saying if someone is like in a corporate situation right now, they're sitting at a cubicle, mm-hmm. they're not happy, merely just wanting to have more freedom, let's say, and wanting to make more money, you're saying is not a good reason to leave your current job. But unless you have something you're passionate about and you feel, you know what, even if I wasn't getting paid for it, I still would do it, you know?
Right, because what you think about it this way, even if you go out and you find a job, and I'm going to go to the rawest place that I can go, but let's say you decide that you want to, you know, sell drugs on the street. You can make a whole lot of money doing that, but there isn't a lot of satisfaction in that. There's a high risk of dying in that job. There's a lot of bad things that can happen. There's a lot of people that you're hurting. So just, back to sort of the money role. You can find a lot of money in a lot of positions, but if you're not happy, ultimately you're going to come back to that place. Because what I always say is there has to be a soul satisfaction. Once you get beyond having enough money, now there's a search in your soul to be satisfied.
Right.
And you can see that as you look around, there are quite a few people who are very wealthy but are unhappy. There's something missing in the soul with that place. And so what I like to advocate is looking for that place where you're passionately happy, because you're going to stay there. You're going to hold there. And even for folks who don't tend to pick a business that generates millions and millions of dollars, a lot of times those folks are very happy doing what they do because they're in their passion.
Right, right.
What was your passion, Rhonda? What brought you, what's your story as far as your transition?
I have always loved helping people. I actually had a different business. I was manufacturing lingerie, and people were coming
Woo-hoo!
To me from everywhere because I produced offshore.
Yeah.
So I had actually, the lingerie line was actually patented. I had created a very special product line. I had to do a lot of things. And just so my experience was very broad. I had international experience. I had negotiated contracts in countries where I couldn't speak their language. And so very often people would come to me and wanted to understand, well, how do you do this? How do you get an idea from this place to the next? And I found myself very easy for me to help them, although sometimes I was very agitated because I was extremely busy. At some point, I had a broker that came to me and said, I'll take the product, let's see if we can get it moved off, and it gave me more time, and I created Kyron Bay from that place and said, this is really what I was born to do, is because I love helping people get the aha moment to go from where they are to where they really want to be, and I can do that so easy with my eyes closed. I mean, it's just simply easy for me, and I love it. I love seeing people get it. I love seeing people finally understand that they can, even in the face of not having everything that they need, but they can get there.
Right.
So for me, it is just phenomenal, the space that I get in my soul, the satisfaction that I get from helping somebody get to meet their goals in their life.
Mm.
Right. Now, can anybody be an entrepreneur? Or do you have to have like certain skills, talents, that sort of thing? Because, I mean, you know, it's easy to open up shop and say I work for myself, but being an entrepreneur, tell us a little bit about that. What does it take?
Well, back to mindset. In the book Transitioning, I talk a lot about, you know, sort of the background, especially the corporate background. Yes, it does take a skill set, and it's not so much as can I type or can I write or read or what. It is more of the mental process, because we're not taught in this country naturally entrepreneurial skills. We're taught to get an education and go work for somebody.
Right.
And that is what we're taught is sort of a success story. You've got the entertainers, they do their thing, and that's a whole another level of success. So the entertainers, the sports people. But from a business perspective, what we're taught is corporate America is the place to be. So when you think about starting a business, the skill set that somebody thinks they need is what you think you need to be in corporate America, and that is simply not true. In the corporate world, you are the it person if you're self-employed.
Yeah.
So that means all that infrastructure that you see in the corporate world, every bit of it is now narrowed down to that one person
right.
in the beginning when they get started. So when you talk about skill sets and what's required, it is required that mentally you're able to overcome and be able to be flexible and to be everything you need to be at that moment until you grow up big enough to hire other people and to really get it down. So can anybody do it? Absolutely.
Right.
There's a mentality, though, that goes with that. And that's what Transitioning talks about, is the mentality that it takes to get to that space. Otherwise, we make foolish mistakes.
Right.
We believe that it's just going to happen. The computer breaks and we're looking stupid. Well, my computer breaks initially, I had to fix it.
Yeah.
At this point now, I have a technician who takes care of that. Software goes down, you got to figure out what's wrong. You take out the garbage, you do the sales, you do the invoices, you do it all.
Mm.
Until you're able to hire help. You do the graphics, you write the cards, you put the tagline on, you do all of it. And most people initially don't really get that. And so they're overwhelmed by the amount of work, and that tends to make them quit.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand that this is what it looks like in the beginning.
Right.
And that's why I say you have to have the passion, because without that passion, you cannot get through all of that stuff. It's kind of like saying a mother who has one baby, and all of a sudden now she has six.
Right.
It's overwhelming. I got to feed all of them. I don't get any sleep. They all have to have diaper changes. So it is a mindset of what has to happen and how much time it actually takes to grow a business. Most people think that I just hop in and next year I'm going to be making $1 million. No, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's
making
very...
money is directly related to your relationship.
Yeah, it's very similar. As I'm hearing you talk, like coming out here and doing entertainment, there's a whole business side of it that can drive somebody that's very creative. You move out here because you're creative and you have a dream, and then you find yourself doing more administration and more business than you're doing your craft until you kind of elevate to a place where, like you said, that stuff is taken care of for you. So it's interesting because it is overwhelming at times, and it is one of these things where I'm like, damn it, I'm working on another promo on graphic design. I didn't go to school for graphic design. I didn't want to be a writer, and now I'm a graphic designer, a writer, I'm a freaking, I can, you know, do your taxes for you or whatever it is. You pick up all these crazy skills.
That's exactly it.
You're like, I just want to sing and dance, people. How hard is that? Let me in the game.
Well, you got to do the footwork.
Exactly.
And I do. Let me ask you. Oh, man. It is. It wears me out sometimes. But it's worth it, though, because when I do get on stage and do my thing, I'm just having a great time. Or every day here, looking at Sam's gorgeous gray face. It's nice. Gray-haired face.
Oh, you see? Now she totally lost focus of the interview now.
I wanted to ask. That's what I do best. That's what I do best, is throw it off. How about the marketplace, the recession? This time right now is unlike any other time that we've been through. Is this a time for people to look for the job or to, you know, reassess and go into the field of being an entrepreneur? What do you think is in light of right now?
I believe, okay, and I love this question because, you know, the answer most people believe, I would say, simply get a job. But here's what I say. If you think about how much money was in the marketplace 3 years ago, we still have the same amount of money out there. It's just redistributed.
Right.
So what happens to entrepreneurs and people is you have to think about, I think there was a book several years put out, and I don't remember the name of the author, but the name of the book was Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes.
What's happened right now is that all the cheese for the United States has moved. So that means that now you have to go to a different gate to get the cheese.
Right.
And so it's all about being flexible and not being so stubborn and so self-centered and focused that I'm going to make my money right here, doggone it. No, you follow the money because that's exactly where it goes. And even though I say I don't believe that money should be the motive, but even within the passion, say you're in singing and dancing, say perhaps it dried up in New Orleans. Well, just move to New York where they have more of it because those people are still going to the shows or they're going to the theater. So you may have to realign yourself with where the cheese has moved, but people are still spending money. They're spending it differently.
Yes.
And that's where you have to sort of find yourself in your and your passion is where they are.
Yeah.
So I may have started with smaller businesses, but now because of the economy, I may have to move to government work or bigger corporations.
Right. Well,
so I may retool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I mean, it totally makes sense, you know. And the thing is that you can't sit there and say, why is this happening to me? Why is this, you know? I mean, I don't have that source of income anymore. You simply have to get up and do what you have to do, you know, and if it means leaving your job.
And we've seen this before. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Sam, but we have actually seen this before. I mean, there was the manufacturing era that has dried up. People had to get re-educated and retooled for technology. We've seen it before. It's not new.
Right.
It's just a matter of change of times. And
right.
So what happens is it takes the country some time to readjust to, the Jesus move, we have to do something different. It takes people a long time. And so what I personally believe is that it's just taking the country, individual people, a long time to stop looking at that door that's been closed and now start to look at the one that's open.
Right.
And as soon as everybody sort of moves collectively to the door that's open, the economy should open up.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
So we're talking to Rhonda Cook. The book is Transitioning from Corporate America into Entrepreneurship. And I guess it was kind of misspelled here. But where can we find you on the web? Do you have a website we can go to?
I absolutely do. For Transitioning, the name of the website is Transitioning from Corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the company, Kyron Bay, there's the website, Kyron Bay, KHIRON, B as in boy, A as in apple, E as in Edward.com. There's KyronBay.com and there's TransitioningFromCorporate.com.
Wonderful.
Transitioning from Corporate is all about the book.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll put a link to your website on our page as well so people can come and check out more stuff.
Thank you. It's been
very fascinating. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
You're so much fun.
And
thank you.
Yeah, well, you love to laugh, and that's important, you know?
You need to come to my comedy show next week. I need you there in the front row. Just get a good laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Bring a bunch of people with you.
Absolutely. Gotta catch the show, Susie.
Yeah.
Well, it shows
you're in a good mood.
Gotta catch you singing and dancing somewhere.
Yeah.
There you go, girl.
Yeah, the great attitude, that's what helps you make it out there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, Rhonda, all the best. Good luck with the book, and thanks again for spending time with us this morning.
I thank you so much for having me. You guys have a wonderful day. Thank you again.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye. So that's that.
I think she's cool.
You know?
Like her.
Yeah. And it makes sense. You know, I mean, you gotta, you know, I could relate to a lot of things that she says, you know, because
I was wondering what you were thinking
I have to agree, you know, I mean, I'm still not after the money, you know, I'm still after the passion, and that's why it's grown so well, you know, because if you're focused on the money, you're not focused on how to make it, you know? I mean,
that's
the money doesn't just happen, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to do what you love to do, surround yourself by good people, and the money's going to come. Because if you love what you do, you're going to do very well at it.
That's true.
You know?
It's just like they say in sales. I mean, if you don't love what you're selling...
Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's so much more of a heist. It's harder. When you really just love something you're selling,
right?
It just kind of sells itself.
No, absolutely. I have to agree, you know. I mean, it works like that. And
do you feel like you have that kind of support that really
good people around you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've had several businesses in my life, and, you know, usually I would just give up at the end when I was overwhelmed with everything.
Well, when you talked about doing the animation thing and you're the only person, I mean, she kind of resonated with what she was saying as far as, you know, kind of finding out that this is, you know, getting it in over your head or not being able to, you know.
Exactly.
You
got to realize you can't do everything yourself either, you know. You got to surround yourself by people. So this time I'm doing it right, and I think it's working out. You know, I'm really happy, still passionate about it, and it's working. You know, because when you're passionate, you put everything into it. You know, and that's what a business needs.
I mean, the station's doing so well too. It's kind of like you said, this just started off with you just wanted to have a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. You know? I love that. Look how big it is now.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Really cool.
And that's because, you know, and I worked my ass off too, but it didn't feel like work. That's what I'm saying.
Because
you know?
It was your passion.
The first year and a half, I was doing everything myself, you know, and I was tired a lot and I was overwhelmed. But you know what? I had the energy because I loved it, you know, and
that's
I still
so cool.
do. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you got to have a certain attitude towards business. But definitely, I think now is the time when people are unemployed to actually start considering starting something that they like, you know?
Yeah.
And when people ask, well, I don't know what to get into, the best thing is to look at yourself, look at your life, and go, what is it that you really like, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you don't feel like getting up in the morning, it's not going to work.
That's so true.
Yeah. You got to love what you do.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. So back to Lindsay Lohan, I guess she loves doing, she loves what she does, and which is drinking, so she ends up in jail.
That's me. This is not my joke, you guys. Go to Tracy McDonald on Facebook, which she does. She does a lot of, obviously she's a comedian, and she does a lot of outsourced, you know, comic jobs and things like that for shows and things. And one of her jokes was, she said Lindsay Lohan came out with a new jewelry line. It's called Prison Break. Tracy McDonald, everybody, I did not make that up, but I think that's hysterical.
Prison Break.
Because she had that ankle thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know, even if people are wrong in the situation, my heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
Because I've screwed up so bad where I'm like, man, I just got to eat this one. Or, man,
I know.
You know, it's like hindsight 2020. You're like, I wish I could go back.
Yeah.
And not have blown all that money that weekend.
Yeah, you gotta own it though. You know.
You do. I mean, there's part of not doing it again and learning is really owning it and have and being able to go, okay, this is what I did. But I mean, she is human, and I don't think we know what it's like having those kind of lives. It's ridiculous.
No, that's true.
When you've been a child star and this is all you've known, and you've got a lot of people saying yes to you all the time, and then you probably don't know your identity, you don't really know your value or your purpose.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I think there's just a deeper, different kind of battle that these celebutants go through.
Yeah, no, I have to agree, you know, and going to jail is not a fun thing, you know.
No, I mean, even like people, I mean, Paris Hilton and all these people that you're like, they look like train wrecks that don't care about anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the image it comes off, but it's kind of as though, you know, what is it like living in that world and that's all you know?
Right.
I think there's who would do it better is really what I want to say.
No, that's true, you know, and I think people are not really meant to have so much fame bestowed on them, you know, and when people do and it happens overnight, you know, you feel sort of like invincible, you know, you feel like, God, I must be special, you know, I mean, look what I've done, and suddenly I have all this money and all this fame, and I don't think people know how to deal with it.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, Miley Cyrus, she went from, you know, her Nickelodeon teen kind of thing to now she's not even 18 and she came out with a new video called Untamed.
Really?
It is so not good. I mean, I think she's a talented little girl, but the keyword little girl. And this is what happens. These conglomerates, you know, they develop talent at a young age because of the lifespan and how they have so much time to get their investment back. But the biggest selling demographic of records is the tween category. Mm-hmm. They buy a CD, they lose the CD, they rebuy it. Parents, you know, there's a lot of expendable income on kids in that age, and that they sell records that age more so. So they use these kids, they develop them, they grow them, and they just siphon and siphon and siphon and siphon this fan base that's just so loyal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the fan base, I mean, the Miley Cyrus fan base is like, you know, it goes all the way down to like, you know, 7, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, you know, to your tweens, like your 13, 14s. So now she's, I think, I don't know how old she is. I think she's like 17.
That's what you just said. I don't know.
I think she's like 17, and she came out with this. You know,
she's not 18 yet?
No, she came out with this.
And even if she's 18, she should pay attention to who her audience is.
That's
what
my only
saying.
Thing. It's like, I understand you don't want to be a Nickelodeon kid your whole life, but you're not even 18, and these are the people that buy your crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is your audience.
You're right.
And I mean, on one level, I mean, she's a really cool, smart girl. I mean, in her interviews, she came out saying, you know, I'd like to see you at, you know, 21 or 19, 20, and somebody have a camera on you all the time, right, and see how good you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really, really, you know, good way to spin the whole idea of, look, we're human, I'm just under a microscope.
Right.
And part of me identifies and goes, you know what, she's totally right. However, I kind of want to go, where's Billy Ray Cyrus at this point, and where's the managers, and where are the people that, you know, are looking at the audience that you've built up? Yeah. I mean, and
I think those are the ones that actually push this kind of format, you know? I mean, you're saying all the people around her.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I'm like,
know?
You're freaking... All of a sudden, she has this video called Untamed, and it's really funny, though, because yeah, there's pictures of her wearing, like, a weird unitard, and she's got, like, one glove on, and she's like, crazy makeup, and her little baby boobs are being pushed up. It's like, she's like, I'm untamed, you know? It's like this rebellious... But see, we've already been through Britney, Christina, right, we've been through, I mean, the list of them, Rihanna... Right. We're just not impressed.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, nobody's even really, like, they're going, this is too much for a 9-year-old. But at the same time, we're looking at her going, it's not very creative.
Yeah.
We've already seen it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
but I guess
funny.
It's a way to make money, you know?
I think it's a way to kind of, you're trying to bust out. I think these girls get so tired of, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's why kids are maturing so much faster today, you know, because they're exposed to all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's aimed at them.
I think there is a really weird kind of over-sexualizing young kids. And I even went down, I was on 3rd Street, and I saw a billboard for, I think it was Guess or The Gap or some kind of clothing line for kids, though. Mm-hmm. It was their kid. And it had these kids, and they had, like, a jean jacket on, mm-hmm, and they're at the playground, but they've got these, like, tons of makeup on, and they've got like a cold stone stare that you would see on like an adult walking down the runway. They're like, I was like, that's not even natural.
Yeah.
You know, that kid doesn't look all pissed unless you took away their freaking, you know, ice cream cone. Yeah. And they look like cold, and like, we're like super beautiful and cold.
I know. Why is it that male models always look angry?
I mean, women models look angry too.
Really?
Like the high fashion.
Uh-huh.
Beauty and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are gorgeous. Be happy.
Yeah.
Why are you so
not
pissed?
Not as much because it's, well, obviously, this is what the photographers want, you know? That's the pictures that they pick out. And I guess that's the look, you know? They don't want smiling people, you know? So.
And then, yeah, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's kind of funny because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so Amazon announced that the sales of ebooks, you know, on the Kindle and stuff, actually outsell hardbacks.
Just a matter of
now,
time till the aliens come and take over.
Yeah, you know, and this is very, very, I'm very concerned about that.
Imagine
I love books.
That technology taking over books. I mean,
right.
Come on, it's just a matter of time.
And, you know, that's the thing, though, is I always say, you know, you can't find, you can't fight progress, you can't fight innovation and that sort of thing. But, man, I'm going to miss books if they go away, let me tell you, you know.
Really? Do you have a Kindle?
That's one of, like... No, I don't have a Kindle, and
I wish I could break all of them. Doesn't
so.
The iPad have like a Kindle-like thing?
It does, yeah. So that's why, you know, I mean, things are going in that direction.
I think there's a lot of people like you, though, Sam, that are very
big but eventually, but if we become like the minority, you know, eventually they're not going to sell books like that.
Well, it's kind of also like emails and how post office dropped down a bit, but they're still in style.
Yeah,
you
but
still
it's
have
a whole different
them.
Lifestyle, you know? But at the same time, look at CDs and tapes and all
that's
that. True. You know, people don't buy them. But although it's different because, you know, a CD, like music, the delivery doesn't really matter. I mean, if you get it on a CD or you download it from iTunes, it's still the same. But when you buy a book as opposed to a Kindle, I think that's different. You know, I love holding the book. I love smelling it. You know, I mean...
Do you
I love
lick
the whole
book?
Thing. Do I lick it?
Do you lick the book?
I could lick it if
Do
I needed to.
Do you just snuggle with that book?
but yeah, I'll miss books if they go away, and they probably will. You know.
I don't think they'll go away.
They probably will.
They're not going to be.
I mean, look, already magazines and newspapers are going away. So why wouldn't books? You know, it's just a matter of time.
Not us. That freaking Us Weekly shows up.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't order it, but it's one of those like crisscross type things. So.
Yeah.
Just keep showing up,
yeah,
and we just keep reading it. That Us Weekly.
Yeah,
we've got like a whole bunch of stacks of magazines by the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
In the bathroom by the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys read in the bathroom?
I mean, you have the option.
I mean,
to.
You shouldn't sit there that long. It's not healthy.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Just hanging out?
No, I mean, some people will sit there for a long time. I don't think it's good. They say that you can get hemorrhoids and stuff from that, you know?
What do you mean?
You just go in, you do your thing, and you leave. You
mean it's just the act of sitting down or just, like, hanging out with
not the magazine, but, you know, I mean,
people sit down.
You're just sitting there for too long. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like 2-3 minutes, I'm out of there, you know? I don't have time to read.
No, I personally don't
like it. Who wants to sit in that stench for so long?
Oh, so gross. You can always do a mid-flush, but still.
Oh, I do, but it doesn't help.
I know you
help.
Do.
I flush like 10 times or something.
So, I think that's funny. Or if you're in a public restroom, you know. Oh, you don't do it in public.
No, I don't do
can
that.
Can you hold it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
I hate unisex bathrooms. Like one stall, unisex, you have to wait, and like if something happens and you need to like drop it like it's hot and there's somebody else waiting and you're just praying, God, please don't let anybody be here. And then you're praying, please don't let it be a guy. And please don't let him be hot. And that happened to me one time. I like almost died. I like ran. I was like looked down and just like ran out. I was like, don't look at me. I'm so ashamed. Knocking over stuff as I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Running. Yeah, normally that doesn't happen because I try not to, you know, make a hobby or habit out of
That's
it.
That's how it is at Starbucks, though, isn't it? Like
no, I mean, there's some, but usually it's a women's. Yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, stick to your own kind. Yeah. Like, honestly, I'd like to, you know, I don't like the unisex thing. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And then I was at Starbucks and both the women's restroom was somebody was in there and one guy was sitting near the bathroom. So he goes, oh, you can use the men's. And I was like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the man. Men just smell different, and they've got just the urine thing going, like the urinal.
At the seat.
Yeah, they got all that. It's just weird. Like, I went on a run with a guy friend of mine last night. He came over, and he used the restroom, and then I had to go to the bathroom, and he totally had the seat up, and I was like, oh, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
This is a woman's place.
Yeah.
I'm like, he just leaves it up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be one of those people that bitch about that.
Yeah, I don't like when women bitch about that.
Guys should put it down. I mean, I don't want to have to touch the damn thing. I don't want to. I mean, it's a clean because I clean
it. But
then
the guy has to touch it.
Well, he's the one peeing.
Yeah, but
he's the one peeing, so he could put his nasty little paw on there and lift it up.
Yeah, but what does it say? The seat has to be down. What if the default is up? You know.
Listen,
if you're the one
that needs to lift it to pee or whatever, like no, I'm just saying men need to do it, just like they need to take out trash.
Right.
They can take out the trash and they can be responsible for that.
Yeah.
They're guys are just kind of gross, you know, so that's okay. They don't care about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they like bugs, they're like, you know, they sweat more. They're fine with it.
You're thinking of little kids. That's not how men are. They like bugs.
Well, they're not
this morning
afraid.
I killed a spider.
Yeah, but does it scare you?
No, yeah. No, but it's just I don't like when they run fast on the carpet or on the wall. Or
oh, hell no, I don't like it either. But I mean, you know, a friend of mine, her roommate, who's a guy, you know, they saw a roach. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you gotta go hit this roach and kill it. And she's laughing, and he starts screaming like a girl. And she almost peed her pants because he was,
really?
You know. But see, I cannot be with a guy that can't kill a bug. I'm just like, I'm sorry. If you aren't going to kill... If I have to kill a bug, it is over.
Yeah.
I don't know why most girls... I mean, not every girl, but I know most girls have like a weird... Like a really big reaction to bugs. And guys are like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
You know? The guy that I was I hung out with in Texas, I mean, he threw a cricket on me.
Really?
We went in the car, and he threw a cricket on me. I looked down at my shoulder, and I was like, I saw this thing on me. Freaked me out. Yeah. Couldn't handle it.
Oh, man. That's funny. So, yeah, if books go away, man, I'm going to be bummed out.
Are you reading The Passage?
Yeah, I'm still reading The Passage.
How is it?
Man.
How's it going?
It's pretty good, man. The vampires are at full speed now, and... But, you know, I don't know. I mean, like at page 200, I don't know that I have patience to read another 600 just to find out what's happening, you know? I mean, at this point, like, what else can happen? You know, I mean, you've got the zombies and all that, so the vampires, and they're attacking people. But, you know, I think it's worth
It's on the bestseller. It's the New York Times bestseller list, so right. I think you should commit to it. I need you to do it.
But,
so
and
I
I'm
can...
still enjoying it, you know?
Yeah.
So. You want to read it too?
Oh,
really?
800 pages? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, okay.
I don't and it's hard for me to read nonfiction.
Yeah.
Kidding me? 800 pages? I'm just not the I'm just not the demographic. It's not that. It's just I'm not much of a reader.
Yeah.
I mean, I read every day. You know, I read my Bible every day, and then I read stuff online. You know, I do stuff like that. But I do more nonfiction. I've reading a couple great books right now, but
yeah.
You know, I'm not like a crack open a good novel kind of person.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I love books in general, you know.
I know, you're good at it.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to have friends like you, because you'd be like, okay, give me the abridged version. Yeah. Do you know when I was in high school, they did this thing where you had to have summer reading, mm-hmm. and then we had a test. First day, this is one of my first honors classes, and then they were like, okay, we're going to do a test on those books. I was like, oh, you guys were serious about that?
Yeah.
You were serious about actually reading it?
Uh-huh.
And so I real quick turned to this girl. I said, give me the abridged version in 3 minutes. What is the plot? How does this work out? And she was like, and it was George Orwell's 1984, and I passed that test.
Really?
I got like a C on it.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of that
scene. Huh? Yeah.
I'm so proud that I'm on the radio today telling you guys what a slacker I was and how I still got by.
Yeah. There you go.
I got skills.
You got skills. Okay. Well, still a lot to talk about, but we're out of time. Everybody have a great day. You have a great day, Kira.
You too.
As always. And we're going to be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.